Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Attitude Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
More importantly, the importance of attitude.
Really?
And here it is. Here are excerpts from a dog's diary. Day 180, 8 a.m. Oh boy, dog food, my favorite. 9:30 a.m. Oh boy, a car ride, my favorite. 10:30 a.m. Oh boy, dog food, my favorite. 1 p.m. Oh boy, the kids, my favorite. Day 181, 8 a.m. Oh boy, dog food, my favorite. Excerpts from a cat's diary. Day 183. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little objects. I mean, isn't that it?
That says it all.
I like it. They lavishly eat fresh meat while I am forced to eat dry cereal. The only thing that keeps me going is the hope of escape and the mild satisfaction I get from ruining the occasional piece of furniture.
Yeah, no, I've always had the feeling that my cat is being held against his will.
You're absolutely right.
He hates us.
Even though you let him out, and he could run off if he wanted to, there's something. He just keeps coming back because he wants to get even.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Aaron from Austin, Texas.
Aaron with two A's?
With two A's, yeah.
Oh, just checking.
The King James Version.
The King James Version.
From Austin, Texas.
And not the King Version. The King had one A.
The King. Elvis Aaron Presley with one A. I don't understand why.
Misspelling. Anyway, Aaron, what's going on?
I have a Chevy Impala, and it's a taxi cab.
Really?
Oh, you drive a cab?
I do.
Good man.
Yeah. Anyway, this Impala usually runs beautifully. It's brand new, so it's only got about 30,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got it back from my night driver a couple of weeks ago, and he said there's a problem. It has no passing power. So I took it out and drove it, and sure enough, when I would romp on the gas, instead of taking off like a champ, it took off like it was towing a trailer full of bricks. It makes a funny little noise when you push the gas down and it shifts.
I'm going to tell you the sound it makes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It makes a sound like air escaping from a balloon. You ever take a balloon and pinch it?
Actually, it's not like that. Nope, that's not it. It
makes a sound like this.
Yeah, exactly. Like you made too many banana daiquiris and your blender is burned out.
That would be pinging, which would suggest that the wrong octane fuel was in there. What do you use for gas?
I put beautiful gas in it.
How beautiful is it? Is it more beautiful than me?
It's always fancy name brand. It's always Texaco or Chevron or something. And
93 octane?
93, yeah.
What the heck are you burning that stuff for?
Well, because I was putting 89 in it, and I thought I heard ping, so I put 93. Didn't help.
Really? So it sounds like a bunch of marbles rattling inside a coffee can.
Yeah, there you go.
So it is pinging.
Yeah, but it's very, very faint.
But why?
Is the check engine light on?
Yes.
Oh.
But it goes off sometimes.
Aaron!
Oh, no, that's the whole problem.
You gotta tell us these things.
You have, I'm gonna guess you have a bad crank angle sensor.
Crank angle sensor?
Yeah, that's my guess. Because this thing is fuel injected and electronically controlled, you have different sensors on the engine which are telling the computer when to shoot in the gas and, more importantly,
when to fire
the spark plugs.
Aha!
And if any of those sensors are sending the wrong information to the computer, what will result is pinging and low power, black smoke, poor mileage, and
noises.
The check engine light will come on.
I love that.
Yes!
That's great because that means it's not the transmission.
No.
Oh,
and the night driver had told the cab owner that it was the transmission, and I contended that it was not.
Oh, you don't own the cab?
No.
What do you care?
Because I got to save face.
Oh, I see.
I told the owner that it wasn't the transmission, but he doesn't believe that I'm very mechanically inclined. But if I tell him I think it's the crank angle sensor, he's going to think I'm a genius, and I'll never have to play lease again, probably.
That's right. You won't have to drive the night shift anymore. Good luck, Aaron.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Hope we're right.
All right. Me too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
He hopes we're right.
Yeah, especially
more than we do.
We don't really care. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
What if we were getting paid on the basis of right answers?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be sad?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we'd have the next cardboard box next to what are the two guys in
what? Grilling squirrels under a bridge?
Roasting.
Roasting squirrels under a bridge, right.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Oh, thank God for America.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Imagine how well we do in Italy.
227.
They don't care about anything over there.
My son recently flew to Italy. For a high school trip.
Yeah.
They flew Alitalia Airlines. He said the plane takes off. Everyone's strapped in his seat. As soon as it leaves the runway, everyone breaks into applause. So thrilled that they're not dead.
They're actually off the ground.
As soon as it made it off the ground, everyone started cheering, clapping. Yay, fantastic, we're not dead. And then he said as soon as the plane even came close to leveling off, and in spite of the seatbelt sign being on, everyone is out of his seat running around trading chickens with the guy. Oh, it was.
And they're cowboys.
They fly like they drive.
They fly like they drive.
Yeah.
I mean, even when they're on the runway and they're going over to the gate, they're speeding.
Yeah, well, these are the guys who lost their licenses.
They're hanging lefts and rights, wings are bouncing off the tarmac. Yeah. Woo!
Well, anyway, yeah, so if we fail here, we're heading right for the old country, the home of our ancestors. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
We're not dead.
We're not dead.
Or are we? At least they were sure of it.
They were happy no matter what. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Catherine from Danville, Kentucky.
Hi, Catherine. With
a K. Wait a minute now.
K.
Danville, Kentucky? Absolutely not. Catherine.
That's right.
You bet.
Okay, I'll make
I know my Kentucky women, boy.
Hey, there you go.
How are you, Kathy?
I'm good. How
do your friends call you Kathy or Catherine?
Catherine.
Yeah, I would. I would.
Anyway, Catherine, what's up?
What kind of a sled do you drive? I'm sorry.
Well, I have a 1985 Volkswagen Golf with 189,500 miles on it.
My God.
Whee, that's good.
Yes. And for the last 5 years, I've had a problem with the oil pressure light and buzzer going off.
Yes.
When I level out at 2,000 RPMs.
Right, level out. Yeah. I like when you reach
2,000 feet or
cruising altitude.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this vehicle has two oil switches, and what it has is a low oil pressure warning and a high oil pressure warning. And what's going off is the high oil pressure warning.
Okay.
So it may be, you've had the problem for 5 years?
Yes.
Has anyone tried to fix it?
Have you been ashamed to talk to anyone about it? Or?
Yes, I have. And
so you get up to 2K, you're cruising, you're getting up to high speed in the highway, and the buzzer goes off.
Exactly.
And what do you do?
Pull the fuse out.
You pull the
That's perfect. The only thing I can do.
You've done everything that's possible. That's what they would do at the dealership.
Well, someone put a new oil pump in for me in the last 6 months, and that seemed to do the trick.
Oh, really?
But then when someone else changed the oil, then the problem's back. And I just had the oil changed a month ago, and the new pump was put in 6 months ago.
Well, I think when the pump was put in, the weather was warmer, and now that it's colder, the oil is more viscous. They may have used a different viscosity oil.
Right. But
what it's boiling down to is this. There are two switches. And the one that runs, I don't remember which one runs the high pressure side of the thing, but you can have that switch replaced. It's probably, it's less than $20 for sure, probably less than $10.
Okay.
And you should do that. When that doesn't fix it, then you can try replacing the buzzer or removing the buzzer.
It would be nice to check to see if you truly do have high oil pressure.
Now, the light, I trust the light comes on at the same time that the buzzer goes off?
Yes.
Okay. So by removing the fuse, have you disabled the low pressure side of the light as well? In other words, when you turn the key to the on position in the morning to start the car,
uh-huh.
does the oil light up?
Yes, I just remove it when I'm driving. And then I put
it
back
in. Oh, what a pain that is. Especially in a Volkswagen. You have to get
down. No, she's probably got it hooked up with a string so she can just do it on the fly.
I've memorized where it is, so I'll just yank it out.
Well, I mean, but try replacing the switch. If that doesn't work, you can yank the buzzer. You can even replace the buzzer. Maybe that the buzzer's no good.
Okay.
But you should, like Tommy suggests, and I never agree with him, you should have the oil pressure checked to see if it's exceeding the maximum. Because even though they replaced the pump, there may be something else wrong. Maybe clogged passages, or you may have a faulty oil pressure relief valve.
Okay.
So any one of those things can cause it. But if all else fails, obviously in 5 years' time, it hasn't done anything terrible. You can safely take the buzzer out.
Okay.
And don't worry about it. I've taken a few out myself. I've done a few buzzerectomies.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck, Catherine.
Good luck, Catherine. See you.
Okay, bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Daniel on Long Island.
Hey, how you doing?
Daniel, what's going on?
Well, I've got a 2000 Volvo Cross Country.
Okay.
And when the heat comes on, the car fills with what I can only describe as a barfy aroma.
A barfy aroma?
Yeah. I mean, it smells like somebody threw up in the car.
And this has been going on how long?
About 10 days.
Norwalk virus.
I think so. It's making its way to Long Island.
A severe case of Norwalk virus.
You think, huh?
Well, the car had it. Yeah, it
happens. Cars get it. Dogs get it.
Yeah. In humans, it lasts about 2 days, but in cars, 2 weeks. So I would figure about 4 days, the car will be all better.
This just started, huh?
Yeah, it just started.
No, I think what you're smelling is mold.
Yeah, but where does it come from?
It's coming from the heating system.
All of a sudden?
Why wasn't I smelling it when the air conditioning was on?
Isn't that a good question?
When was that?
Six months ago.
That was a distant memory when the air conditioner was on. No, I mean, mold spores are an interesting phenomenon.
Oh, here we go.
No, my
brother's medical and scientific knowledge about mold spores.
You're not aware of them until they reach a critical mass.
Oh,
and you
bogus.
No. It depends on how sensitive your nose is. Obviously, there are some people who can detect one mold spore per 100 million.
Oh, so there's a critical mass of mold spores.
Well, you know, I mean, I was willing to ignore this problem, but I had my daughters with me a couple of days ago, and the heat came on, and
it was, oh my God, what's that?
The 8-year-old says, smells like barf.
But does it smell like barf to you, or does it smell more like mold and mildew?
No, it smells like barf.
Oh, I got it. Where do you park?
In front of the house.
You live sort of in the woodsy parts of Long Island?
I know what it is now.
No, but, you know, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Just before this happened, I was refilling the washer fluid.
Yeah.
And I took the opportunity to clean out all the leaves and twigs and everything that collects under the windshield.
Yeah, including the mouse nests.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you have a dead mouse.
You think so?
Yeah,
that would make sense.
I've smelled dead mice. I know what they smell like. It's not that.
Well, maybe it's a dead shrew. Maybe they smell different. I don't know, but it's a dead something or other.
You think there's a dead something in the duct someplace?
Yeah. And that's a pretty offensive smell.
Yeah. I mean, do I just wait until it dries up or get somebody to clean
it out?
Well,
here's the problem.
It's a long time.
What's happening is that every night the mouse is getting flash frozen. All right? It's like a turkey dinner that's in the freezer.
So it's going to last forever.
It's going to last because then what happens is every day you turn the car and the heater on, you defrost it a little bit.
And it stinks like hell.
And then it goes back in the freezer. So this could last for months.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
This is it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Is it involved getting a cat?
No. You get a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
You drive home.
Yeah. I leave it running all night.
Leave it running. You got it. You leave it running all night with the heater on, with all the windows down. You get out in the morning, everything will be fine.
No.
With the heat on and all the windows down so that the guy can drive through and drive off my car.
Hey, if it happens, it happens. No, I mean, the only remedy really is to take the ductwork apart. I mean, God knows where this guy got into.
That doesn't sound like I'm loving it.
No,
it's expensive.
I wouldn't like it either.
It's expensive. Now, this car
does have
an under-the-hood air filter for the heating system.
Ah.
And you may be lucky. You may be able to take this filter out. You may be able to fish around in there
something.
Or get in there with the vacuum cleaner hose.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that would be very nice.
I mean, alternatively, you could try spraying stuff in there to, you know, mask or camouflage the smell.
Yeah.
But if it's a dead mouse, it's going to be tough because no matter what you put in there, it'll always be there. And it takes a long time. I mean, mice a little, but they take a long time to evaporate.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's undoubtedly what it is.
Those critters find the most interesting things to do.
They do, and mice can squeeze into anything. So there's no way to keep them out. If they decide to reside in your ventilation system, they're going to get in there. And if the guy died, he died.
Okay.
Good luck, Dan.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, are you ready for your weekly fill-in-the-blank puzzler hint?
Oh, jeez, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, here it is. Last week when you had a coughing fit, remember you were...
Yeah.
Berman thoughtfully handed you a what?
He handed me a cigar, I think it was, and a bouquet of ragweed.
Okay. Well, it must have been Louie who handed you the water. I was looking for a glass of water. The puzzler is about glasses of water.
I remember
and how they
it.
Can be combined to produce other glasses of water.
I remember.
Got it?
Yeah.
We'll be back with the
one.
Answer in just a minute.
Yeah.
This Okashi's fine for me. I don't need no luxury. A broken seat with holes in it. I don't know. She just fits nice right. Always predictable. She's on the mend. That's right. Always dependable. She's like a friend. This old car. This old car.
And even though the NPR grief counselor asks for 3 more full-time assistants whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. At CarMax, the best way to buy a car is your way. Shop on your schedule and choose from over 50,000 CarMax certified vehicles at CarMax.com. Check out 360-degree views, set up a trade-in appraisal, apply for financing, and buy online or in-store with curbside pickup and home delivery in select markets. Get all the details and start the search for your next car today at CarMax.com.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/cartalk to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
We are still in the middle of this pandemic, and right now, having science news you can trust, from variants to vaccines, is essential. NPR Shortwave has your back. About 10 minutes every weekday, listen and subscribe to Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I have to say, I don't have it yet.
Oh, well, I will tell you, well, let me start from the beginning.
Yeah.
This was sent in by someone named Frank Juskolka from cyberspace, I think. And he writes, I was recently asked this question on a job interview for a software engineering position. I figured it out finally, but it took me too many steps, so I didn't get the job. Maybe this puzzler will help some poor unemployed engineer get a job with the sick and twisted manager who gave me the test. And here's the test. You've got a 4-ounce glass and a 9-ounce glass, and you have an endless supply of water. You can fill or dump either glass. You can fill one, dump the other, fill both, pour them on your head, do whatever you want. And you can dump one into the other, obviously. And the objective is to measure out exactly 6 ounces of water in the fewest number of steps.
Yeah.
Well, Frank sent us an answer with 15 steps.
Yes.
And, of course, I researched this very carefully, spent about a minute on it, and determined that Frank, who said he didn't get the job because it took him too many steps, I'm afraid he's not going to get the second job either because that took him too many steps, our estimable Louis Cronin Figured it out in only like 8 steps. And here's how. Are you paying attention?
Of course I'm paying attention. Undivided. Go ahead.
You start with...
Is that a new shirt you're wearing?
You start with both glasses empty.
Yeah.
Okay. Step one, you fill the 9-ounce glass.
Mm.
Step two, you pour 4 ounces from the 9-ounce glass into the 4-ounce glass because that's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Step three, you dump out the 4-ounce glass.
Okay. So you got 5 ounces left in the big glass.
That's right.
I'm with you.
Step four, again, you fill the 4-ounce glass from the 9-ounce glass. Okay.
Okay.
And step five, again, dump the 4-ounce glass.
So now the 4-ounce glass is empty, and you got 1 ounce in the 9-ounce glass.
You are...
Am I quick?
You're paying attention.
I am.
Step six, pour the 1 ounce of water from the 9-ounce glass. Okay, you got 1 ounce. Into the 4-ounce glass. This is crucial now.
Okay.
Step seven, fill the 9-ounce glass.
Okay, so at the moment here, you got... a full 9-ounce glass, and you have 1 ounce in the 4-ounce glass.
So now you pour just enough water from the 9-ounce glass to fill the 4-ounce glass, which means you're pouring how much out of the 9-ounce glass?
3 ounces.
Right, and that leaves how many ounces in the 9-ounce glass?
My God! 6!
QED!
So, Frank...
Frank, back to the drawing board!
Frank gave us 15 steps. Frank, I would consider a new career.
Yeah. Frank, you ought to consider grave digging.
But we do have a winner. The winner is Ken Thurn from, of all places, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Atta boy, Ken.
And, Ken, we are going to deliver to you...
a luau!
A $25 gift certificate. It's going to take both of us. So if you want to get this $25 gift certificate, send us 2 round-trip first-class tickets from Boston to Honolulu, and we will deliver you your $20 gift certificate with which... you can get 1 8/17 of a Car Talk baseball cap just in time to protect your ball spot from the hot Hawaii sun.
Good work, Ken. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Cheryl, and I live in North Liberty, Iowa.
Cheryl, with an S or a C?
C. The only way to spell it.
Well, C-H. No, we know someone who spells it with an S. North Liberty, Iowa?
Yes, it's right near Iowa City.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have an 86 Chevy Nova, and the headliner is falling down.
Oh.
And every time I get in the car, it rearranges my hair, and I walk out with this curl on top of my head.
Yeah.
And so I need some advice. Because I know you guys are what I would consider laterally thinking fashion mavens of the car interior.
Yes.
I thought so. So I'll tell you what I've tried.
Yeah.
I've tried the glue and about asphyxiated myself.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't work. I think there's a little foam rubber thing that they put on there, and then they glue the material to...
That's
that.
That's right. The material has separated from the backing.
Yeah, and it may have all fallen apart.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, is the foam piece still intact?
Well, not hardly.
Not hardly. So that's disintegrated too. So not only is the cloth coming down, but the liner is actually coming down too. You're done for.
Because when that piece deteriorates, it just sort of crumbles, right?
Yeah.
And when it does, there's nothing to stick to anymore.
Right.
So you're going to have to replace that.
Well, you could resort to the NHL, the
no headliner look.
No headliner.
I mean, you could just rip the thing out. There's no law that says you have to have a headliner.
That's true.
On the other hand, it would cushion you to some extent if your head were to hit the roof.
Oh, but that's
not
going to
happen. But you could
obviate
that problem by wearing one of those styrofoam bicycle helmets.
Well, right. That could be part of my look.
Exactly, part of your new look, the no-headliner look.
See, whenever we get these kind
it's big in Vegas now, the no-headliner look.
When we get these wacko kinds of questions, I always try
wacko.
To think... Yeah, well, I mean, this is not your average problem, you know?
No,
we don't get many people with this problem. I always ask myself, what would I do if it were my car? And you know what image came to me? I bet you my brother is going to be able to pull it right out.
All right.
What would I... If that were my car...
Yeah?
You'd wear a hat.
No. A stick.
That's true.
The stick, and you wedge it into the seat, and boop, it holds up the headliner, just on my side, right?
Sure. The stick has to go between the seats. You have a Nova, so you have bucket seats.
Yeah.
Right where the handbrake lever is.
Yeah, stick.
You're going to put a stick, and to that stick, you're going to attach a piece of plywood about 8 inches wide by 2 feet long.
That's right, and it's going to go right
better
across.
Than that. A broom.
A broom.
You need a broom. You cut off the handle, and you wedge that baby in there.
The classic short-handled broom.
Okay.
That's okay, Cheryl.
But I would, I would just rip the thing out, because after a while, the broom is gonna start making you nervous.
Well, no, the broom is good, because when there's snow in your car in the winter, what do?
You just take
it out.
Take the broom out, you clean it off, you stick the broom back in.
I love multifunctionality.
Yes, I know.
And I also might attract some conversation.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Now, if you really wanted to fix this, it would require that you went to a junkyard and bought a new headliner.
I see.
But putting the headliner in may require taking out the windshield.
Mm. Oh,
front or back windshield, I don't know, because it may not fit in through any other way.
Uh-huh. You know, could I use any other kind of fabric?
Oh, could you fashion one yourself?
Yes, because, see, I make custom clothes.
You do?
Uh-huh.
You do.
You're thinking of a nice Scotch plaid?
No.
But you're going to have a full Chicago inside the car.
Yeah, Scotch plaid would be interesting.
I mean...
But if I did, how would I make it stay
up? Well, you can't. That's the problem, because the thing that the material is stuck to has disintegrated. So there's no way... I mean, you could take what you have there and try to sew it to the backing. But if you can't do that, then you'll not be able to sew anything else to that, and you must remove then the whole piece.
Yeah.
Well, if I took it off, is there something I could cover the ceiling with that would kind of make it a slight fashion statement?
You're thinking maybe you take down the headliner.
Yeah.
And you rug it.
And you'll be left, of course, with that other piece that's up there.
Well, you know, that piece will be gone too, because that all will come down. You'll be left with the metal roof.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll be looking
you
at the other side of the painted surface.
Well, there's still some of the foam rubber there and some of the glue.
Yeah, but that's all going
to
fall out.
You're going to have to scrape that all off.
Oh, scrape it off. Okay.
You scrape all that off, and then we want to make, what you call it, a fashion statement.
You could rug it.
Rug it?
Rug it. Yeah, with contact cement.
Oh.
Right?
Sure.
Rubber cement applied to the metal, and rubber cement applied to the rug. You know, you let that stuff dry on both surfaces, and you slam it together. Make sure you put it on straight, because you'll never get it off.
All right, and it won't come loose in the hot weather?
Oh, of course it will, but that's why you have the broom with you.
But you will.
No, I don't think it'll come loose in the hot weather, but I'll confess that I've never tried it.
I see.
But we count on our listeners to try all these stupid
things
and report back.
Yes, it's kind of like doing research in the field, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Drive around your neighborhood. Somebody must be tearing out a shag rug someplace. You don't need much. You don't need much. I'd go for a nice, you know, something in a nice peach or melon.
Cheryl, you're a good sport. Thanks for calling. Good luck.
Have fun with this. Don't miss this opportunity, because you can have a lot of laughs.
You've got to have fun, because if you get serious about it, you'll be very disappointed.
I see. Okay.
Nothing's going to work.
I promise.
All right.
Good
luck. Send us a picture.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You could, I mean, draperies come to mind. I mean, you could put all kinds of interesting stuff.
Tapestries.
Oh, we didn't mention sand.
Oh, you know what she needs?
Gluing the sand to the inside.
Velvet Elvis. She needs a Velvet Elvis on her headliner.
Elvis.
Of course, everyone should have one.
Yes.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jim in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Baton Rouge, the red stick.
Correct.
Yeah.
Big deal. I learned that in fourth grade.
New Orleans, the big easy. Okay, Jim, what's up?
Well, I've been having problems with exploding auto parts.
Oh,
really? Which parts?
I've had a battery explode and a muffler blow up. These were on different cars.
Yeah.
Both times I was driving.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, these things are most apt to happen when you're driving as opposed to in the house
watching
TV.
Well, not the battery. The battery is not usually doesn't happen when you're driving. But both of those things have been known to blow up.
What would cause a battery to blow up?
Good question. Well, a spark. Because when a battery is being charged, it is producing hydrogen gas.
Right.
And any kind of spark. Now, where would the spark come from? We're going to address that issue in a moment. But if there were any spark under there, because the hydrogen gas, first of all, if the charging system is overcharging, so I would right away say check to see if it is, right. Then you're making a lot of hydrogen gas, which is collecting underneath the hood.
Does it really?
Where's it going to go?
Sounds like some cock and bull story to me. Go ahead.
No, I got the whole scenario.
I thought it was supposed to stay inside the battery.
Your voltage regulator is overcharging, is causing the battery to be overcharged, which is therefore producing hydrogen gas. In addition to which, you have bad secondary wiring. You need spark plug wires. And I'll bet you. Now, are you ready for
this? Did you hit your head or something today?
Wait a minute. I am gonna pull out a Sherlock Holmes like you. And when he says, "My God, how did you know that?" You are gonna bow down on your knees.
You're gonna tell him what kind of a car it is.
I'm gonna tell him that when the battery blew up, it was raining.
Wrong. And I'm sure I have a lot of secondary wiring problems now that battery acid is spread everywhere.
Jim, don't you realize the tremendously powerful impact it would have had if you had said, "My God, how did you know that?" You would have gotten a check in the mail.
Yeah, we might have slipped you $50.
Well, of course, now you have a mess. I mean, it is all of this, although it sounds far-fetched, is all very possible. Because it isn't usual that batteries blow up while you're driving around.
Can I ask a few questions in order that we might get to the truth here? This happened a long time ago on a car that you subsequently continued to drive?
Last week.
I have a Toyota Camry that's been a very good car. I've been very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, as I was turning into a parking lot,
kaboom!
The battery blew up.
Kaboom!
Yeah.
I thought it was something that had hit the underside of the car at first, so I got out and looked underneath and didn't see any large pieces hanging down.
So what's the status of the Camry now?
Well, once I cleaned it up,
and you put a new battery in it,
and put a new battery in it, and tried to hose down everything I could find and a few things I couldn't find. It's been running fine since. The charging system checks out okay. A mechanic took 20 seconds to tell me that.
Yeah, then he doesn't know.
And then I spent a whole afternoon with the service manual and all the analyzers coming to the same conclusion that he did in 20 seconds. So everything checks out according to the specs.
I don't think it has anything to do with my brother's hair breaking.
It was quite a scenario.
Errant secondary voltages. First of all, that there's no external coil in this car. It's sealed under the distributor cap.
Doesn't matter.
And the likelihood that stuff would escape is about 1 in 10 million. It could happen.
Unless it were raining.
Unless it were raining.
The peculiar behavior of the dog.
Number two, it's possible that the thing overcharged at one time and is no longer overcharging, but you might have noticed that other things were peculiar. For example, your directionals would have been going instead of click, 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 click. My guess is that the fault was in the battery itself. The battery short-circuited and blew itself up.
What an uninspired answer.
But correct.
Well, what do you want, correct, or do you want some glamour,
Jim,
some
wants
drama?
The right answer. He wants to know if he can continue to drive this car or should he wear a face mask. And I think you can drive it without further worry. I think that what happened because of the battery itself, and that battery, of course, is gone now because it got splattered all over the place.
And if you have, in fact, checked out the charging system, I would agree with my brother, despite the fact that I thought my story was quite wonderful.
Your story was wonderful. Wrong, but wonderful.
Wrong, but wonderful. No, if you really have checked out the charging system, then it probably was the battery. A defective battery.
I can stop calling this car the Hindenburg and get back into it comfortably.
Maybe. Now, you want to know about the muffler? The muffler can blow off for many reasons, but the most likely reason is buildup of unburned gases in the exhaust system. And then it's ignited by a spark. And it can sometimes happen, you can make it happen, for example, if you're driving along and you turn off the switch and then turn it back on again.
Don't try this at home.
I do it every time I drive my brother's car.
These are two different cars now, is that correct?
Correct.
But that's not anywhere near as exciting as the battery blowing up. I mean, the battery.
Battery's real dangerous, of course. You're lucky that you were driving. Because you don't want to have sulfuric acid splash all over you.
No. I didn't realize what had happened at first when the battery blew up. So I got back in the car, sat down, and apparently the first explosion must have cracked one or two additional cells in the battery, exposing more hydrogen, because when I turned the key, it sounded like I set off a shotgun blast under the hood.
I'm sure you did.
At that point, I think I caught on that something wasn't quite right.
That was good thinking.
You're quick, Jim. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Good luck. Wear protective gear whenever you drive.
All right, look, I think it's time for us to give the phone lines a rest for a minute and let our stations jump in with a few words, wouldn't you say?
You mean words like, this station is in no way responsible for any of the content of the program you're listening to?
Yeah, basically that's it. And then we'll be back with more calls and a brand new puzzler. And by the way, this is from my chicken and egg series.
Uh-huh.
So please stay tuned.
Pontiac Joe's in our town. He's the best guy around. Drinks like a fish, he smokes like a stove. I don't suppose he'll ever get old. Not Joe. Living fast, running hard. Yeah, Pontiac Joe lives in our town. He's the best guy around. Pontiac Joe's got a Bonneville. He was born the same year as Bill. Runs pretty good, don't look too bad. Only good car he ever had.
And even though Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz clicks her heels four times whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
If you're never quite sure how to answer the question,
where are you from?
NPR's Rough Translation might be the podcast for you.
Yes, finally, someone else.
Give us your accents and your origin stories, your cross-cultural misfits, yearning to just be. And listen to Rough Translation on NPR.
Ha! Woo! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of course, the new puzzler from the Chicken Egg series.
Yeah, yeah. What's that about?
Well,
can you name any other puzzler that was from the Chicken Egg series?
Oh, this is the first in the Chicken Egg series. Okay. I don't know. There may have been others, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Here it is. And you've seen these puzzles before, and everyone groans when they hear these. But not only am I going to next week reveal the answer, but how to think about this so you don't ever get stymied by this.
Okay, yeah.
It's very simple. A chicken and a half. You ready? Pay attention now.
Yeah, yeah.
A chicken and a half can lay an egg and a half in a day and a half.
Yeah.
All right? You get that?
Got it. I got it.
A chicken and a half can lay an egg and a half in a day and a half. How long will it take for two chickens to lay 32 eggs?
Got it.
So a chicken and a half can lay it. I want to see that half egg. Can lay an egg and a half.
I want to see the half a chicken.
In a day and a half, how long will it take two chickens to lay 32 eggs? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Wurlitzer ZM-104 jukebox with steel, oak, and precision-molded chrome-tone construction.
Yeah.
100-disc, 200-watt professional Philips CD system, 6 hidden tri-directional speakers, and preloaded with the complete Sleepy Le Beef Deluxe boxed set.
And send how are they going to get that up the stairs?
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrew from Groton.
Hi, Andrew. Groton, Mass?
You bet.
Cool.
Where is that?
It's in Never Never Land, halfway between Fitchburg and Lowell.
My recollection
two
of
big towns.
I
right
went
away.
To a place once called the Groton Inn. And my recollection, I don't remember what I ate, but I remember being bitten by a dog. That's all I remember.
So you
about
never
that.
Went back.
Didn't pay the check even.
How far away from Groton do you work, Andrew?
I work in Groton in my home.
Bless your heart.
Good for you.
Yeah. Okay, so what's up?
Well, I have a 1995 Subaru Legacy station wagon, and this time of year with all the salt and sand on the roads, the rear windshield gets really dirty frequently. So I make a lot of use of the rear windshield washer, but it squirts up from the bottom of the windshield. And when it squirts up, it only reaches about halfway up the glass, and only the bottom half of the windshield gets cleaned.
Yeah.
Is there any way to like boost the pump and make it squirt more forcefully so it
Well, is it
higher?
A matter of force? I mean, when you squirt, does it hit the windshield too soon? And if it didn't, would it go up higher? Or does it just not have enough oomph?
That's
to go
a good
out?
Question. I hadn't thought of the trajectory issue.
The trajectory is adjustable.
Right.
Ah.
And you adjust it. When you do it, I mean, just go take a look at it. This is not rocket science at all. You go
good,
take a look.
I'm not a rocket scientist.
Well, you know that. You wouldn't be working at home. Unless you were Robert Goddard. He was the only rocket scientist I knew who worked at home.
That's right. And he, you know where he was from?
He was from Worcester.
He was from Groton, Massachusetts.
Pretty close.
Funny you should bring him up.
Well, anyway, yeah, you may be able to adjust the aim.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
But I don't know if you can. I know the front nozzles on almost all cars are aimable.
Amiable?
And that too. You may not be able to read. Let's assume that you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, let's if you can, here's what it is. You'll see the little nozzle. You stick a pin in it,
mm-hmm.
and it'll move back, forth,
it, you know, it looks
left,
like, it looks
right.
like an eyeball.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if that's it, then you're done.
But let's assume that it's not adjustable. I like it. I got it. Here's what you do. No. I was gonna suggest rapidly moving backwards.
Slamming on the brakes.
No, but that isn't gonna work.
No, well, here's what I would
do. That does raise the question, though, of does it matter if I'm moving or not? If I'm on a highway and there's airflow over the top, would the airflow impede the movement of the water?
Yeah,
the
I don't know.
Airflow, as from my knowledge of airflow, which is vast, or is it half vast?
I think it's half.
From my knowledge of airflow, there would be a tendency, if the nozzle was pointed high on the back window,
mm-hmm.
so aimed you were, high.
Aimed high, and you were driving along at a good clip, the forces of air would tend to make it hit the window lower.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may well find that if you do it in your driveway, it hits higher.
Should I wait or should I do it
Do you want to jump right in?
Bogus. Well, I don't know if that.
There's no question about it. Here's why.
No, see, you were all right. Just just throw out the theory. The explanation is what's going to sink you. Yeah. Because you're going to use...
Have you ever stood in the back of a truck?
Of course.
It was open.
Of course.
And?
My hair blows forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
The wind is blowing forward.
It's blowing forward.
So it's going to push the little stream of water forward too fast.
So it's going to hit lower on the window.
It's going to hit lower on the window.
It may be.
That's the same principle that makes the windshield get so dirty to begin with.
I can't believe that we've dedicated 5.5 minutes to this conversation. No, in fact,
well,
that's the reason the window gets so dirty is that debris flying up from your tires
mm-hmm.
is getting blown onto the
gets
window.
Pushed onto the glass.
Right.
Now, sure, man.
Now that we understand that, here's what I recommend.
Okay.
Go ahead. I can
that
I love
you
it.
Pinch the hose that leads to the nozzle.
Ooh, why would you want to do that?
Increase the pressure. You'll get less flow,
mm-hmm.
but you'll get more pressure.
And it'll shoot up higher.
It'll shoot up higher. Right, it's like putting your thumb on the garden hose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
sure.
It's trickling out, and you reduce the flow tremendously, and you get a spray that goes 20 feet.
See,
so I can spray my wife while she's in the chiz lounge.
Now, do you sell a special hose clamp at car junk?
No, but we will now.
No, but you can get those, in fact, at, what do you call them, pet supply stores
for fish tanks.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I'm all set to do a whole rant on the state of modern windshield washers.
Yeah.
And I realize that many cars, in an effort to one-up the other guy, and I've noticed that on high-end cars, you hit the windshield washer and you have a deluge on the windshield, the purpose of which is to clean the windshield as efficiently as possible, obviously. However, when you do that, you, as the driver, you can't see a thing. Remember the old days when you get that feeble little stream and you had to do it 10 times to clean the windshield? At least you were able to still see out the window.
while it was being cleaned.
While it was being cleaned. But these modern ones, you press that button, and it's like someone opens a fire hose. It's dangerous. It's unnecessary.
I tell you, someone sent us an email and said that the reason, the real reason and the real benefit of having that tremendous power is for guys who are tailgating you.
Oh, you blast them.
Oh, right.
Right, especially when you have two little nozzles shooting up. You take one of those nozzles and you direct it over the top. So when this guy pulls up behind you and starts flashing his lights and blowing his horn, you turn on your windshield washer and you soak the jerk.
Soda jerk. It's a soda jerk.
Soak the jerk.
Jeez. Oh.
They're all
Andrew,
jerks.
I feel better now. But
well, you know, as frivolous as this call may have seemed.
Right, it opened up.
I beg your pardon.
Well, it wasn't cream rinse.
It wasn't cream rinse, that's for sure.
I mean, it was a, admittedly, it was not the end of the world here. We were talking about a little nozzle. But it's been wonderful talking to you, Andrew.
Well, right, and in explaining to
and
you
likewise.
The remedies, we have probably violated every physics principle known to the science. But
well, I'm proud that we learned so much from ourselves. I didn't know we knew anything about this subject.
Good luck, Andrew.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That
amazing.
Was almost as good as the cattle car thing.
No, better. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joyce from Ellicott City, Maryland.
Hi, Joyce. Ellicott City?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
E-L-I-C-O-T-T?
Two L's.
I thought so. What's
wow.
going on, Joyce?
Well, my question is really a driving slash relationship question.
Oh,
I'm married to this wonderful man. He's really calm and focused and such a gentle person. In fact, he even teaches meditation to other people. But when he gets behind the wheel of a car, he turns into, not quite a jerk. He turns into sort of Mario Andretti meets Tony Soprano.
Wow, really?
Yes. And when you were describing to the last caller about riding the tail and blinking the lights, that's my husband.
It is?
And he teaches
meditation.
Meditation.
Yes.
You know, I've been struggling, as you may know, for many, many years to understand the people who do this.
Meditate?
The people who pull up behind someone else and start blowing the horn and flashing the lights. I mean, your husband sounds like the kind of guy who would never do the analogous thing if he were walking.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I mean, if he
right.
were walking down the street and a little old lady was walking in front of him, would he whack her over the head and push her onto the curb?
No, but you know what? He wants to.
Maybe he does.
He wants to.
I can't believe that. I mean, I will try to be delicate here, but your husband is a jerk.
But he's not a jerk. It's only when he drives a car.
I know. What is it about the car that turns people in? If for no other reason we should ban the use of cars, except, I mean...
Well, think how much information it gives us about human nature.
It's terrible. I don't want to know that.
Well, I'll tell you, I've found out a lot about people over the 29 years or so that we've been fixing cars at the shop.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about human nature when you give someone a $700 repair.
And it doesn't kill you.
No, you really, when you disappoint
especially
people.
Especially when it's to adjust the windshield washers with the pin. Special tools required.
But when you tell someone, for example, that their car is not going to be ready, I mean, how that person reacts to that information, or when you call someone to say, look, we discovered another problem and it's going to be X number of dollars, you know, in addition to the $12,000 we already told you. It's interesting to find out how people react to that information, and it tells you a lot about who they are.
And
I've determined that about half the people are jerks.
My husband would be fine if you called him and told him that his car would be 2 days late. He would be very calm about
it's
that.
It's only the driving that causes him to go crazy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Now, what if you drive instead of him?
Well, he hates it when I drive or anyone else drives.
Yeah.
And he's very critical and, you know, tells me what to do and move over here and they're not going fast enough and get in this lane.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's a gender thing, a guy thing?
Well, I mean, there's more of it in guys, but everything has gotten so much worse in the past decade or two because the women have joined the forces of the evil dark side.
Not all the women, but enough of them are shifting sides.
Enough of them that it's no longer 50% who are crazy drivers. It's 50% plus half the women.
Well, 75%. I'll tell you, I have left the dark side.
You have?
Yeah.
You no longer tailgate?
No.
You no longer blow the horn?
Never.
And why did you do that?
I left the dark side because I realized there's no place I wanted to go in that much of a hurry.
I have to say that I have given up.
You wearing sweatpants?
I'm going to wear sweatpants every day because I think it's hopeless.
Well, Joyce,
we got guys like Joyce's husband, whose name is Frank. Frank?
Yeah, good. Frank's good.
Frank's good.
Let's call him Frank, yeah.
Well, have you confronted him with this?
Oh, absolutely. And I have friends who won't drive with him because it's so scary. Everybody's told him.
Man, I don't know what to do about it, Joyce. This is horrible.
I don't either, but he has to resolve this because this is incongruous with who he is.
Absolutely.
Or, as my brother says, it's who he really is.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well,
and that would be pretty sad.
You know, there's a famous Latin expression that says, in vino veritas.
Yeah.
And you might have to get him plastered some night to find out who he really is. I suspect, even though you may not think so, that Frank has way too much stress in his life.
Ah, probably true.
And he's got to get rid of it somewhere. So that's the vent.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah, he needs to do something else.
I think it's scream therapy we're going to recommend for
Frank. That sounds like a good idea.
Scream therapy.
Maybe. Okay, well, we'll try that and see if it helps.
Now, keep us posted, Joyce, because...
And if anyone has any theories about this, really, I would love you to tell me what they are, especially someone who knows something about people.
Or if anyone can explain to us the unusual physics behind rear windshield washers. We'd like to be informed
about
that.
We'd like to hear about that, too.
So, Joyce, we love you. Thanks for calling and good luck.
Thanks
good luck.
A lot.
Good luck.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bastille Smoked Seal, Braised Veal, and Candied Eel Happy Meal, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aurovindo. Our Greek driving instructor is Augustis Miros. Our marine weather forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our staff dietitian is Diana Unger. Our tolerance quality control guy is...
Diana Unger, I got it.
Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatou. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the snowshoeing mimes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
Don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Vincent van Gogh lops off the other ear whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.